Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I like this gospel. There's something about it that grabs me, which I guess you would expect, but I mean, it really does. You know, it's as though I can imagine Jesus saying to me, come and see, follow me, be with me, stay with me. And the interesting thing is, that's exactly what he's done. And that's exactly what he's doing to you. Now here we see John the Baptizer again pointing beyond himself. Pastor Scott talked about this last week, how John came, and great as he was among men, not nearly as great as Jesus. What did John come to do? To point toward Jesus, to clear the way as best he could, but to point others toward Jesus. And John is doing that, and he does it extraordinarily well. He's standing with two of his disciples, Andrew and somebody whom personally I think is John, the author of our gospel. But he's standing with them and he sees Jesus coming and he says, look, the Lamb of God. And those disciples just follow Jesus. They leave John. Don't know if there's any, well, we'll see you later, John, or anything like that, or if they just up and followed. We have no idea. And of course, it doesn't really matter because John came to point others, including his own disciples, to Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God. So they hear Jesus acclaimed that way by John, and they follow him. You know, it's like their hearts had a longing that perhaps they couldn't identify at the time. I'd have been surprised, I suppose, if they could. But when you read about how suddenly they just left and followed, it's like all of a sudden I feel fulfilled. I feel like this is what I'm here for, to follow Christ, to follow Jesus, to follow this guy. When a human heart begins to long for God, and sometimes it takes us a while to figure out what that longing is, but we go to seek God as best we can, and then God comes more than halfway to meet us. St. Augustine said, God stands waiting for us, and then he comes to meet us on the road. I think of it as God running to meet us. Think of the story of the prodigal son. The father sees his prodigal son coming in the distance. What does he do? He throws dignity aside, and he runs to greet his son. And that's how I imagine God coming toward us. There's no dignity involved. There doesn't have to be. He runs to meet us, to envelop us in his arms, to welcome us, to say, follow me. You know, I don't know about you, but every now and then I stop to think, ask of myself, what am I looking for? What do I want out of life? Now, pretty well I know what I'm looking for, because he's found me. I know what I want out of life, because I'm doing it. But you know, those thoughts have gone through my mind. And the younger I was, the more often they'd go through my mind. You know, there's got to be more to life than just taking home a paycheck and doing whatever. Well, now I know. But at that time, when I was young, there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if I was looking for peace, and if so, where was I looking for peace? Was it with others? Was it just myself? Was it the world or our sense of the world? Or was it with God? Well, this, my friends, is something that only Jesus Christ can answer in our hearts. And he does. You know, if you would be one of Jesus' disciples, and we like to think of ourselves as disciples, then you're not satisfied with just a word. You're not satisfied with what the world has to offer. All the riches of the world, and frankly, who cares? Not going to buy me another day of life or something. And if it did, it wouldn't be worth it anyway. That's what Jesus said. Would you trade your soul for all the riches of the world? No, I wouldn't. Like I answered that question a long time ago. But we're not satisfied. We want to something. And that something is God. That something is Jesus. We want to meet Jesus. We want him as a friend. We want to be invited to go with him to his home. And guess what? He is our friend. And he has invited us to go to his home, at least to the home that he resides in here. We're here right now. Jesus invites us to come and see. And our gospel writer, John, not the baptizer, but John, the gospel writer, says he's the one who finishes the paragraph with, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And John, that's the time that he found life. He and Andrew, following Jesus, and they found life. Life found them. Life found them and invited them to come and see. Come and see. And of course, Andrew went to find his brother Simon. And he tells Simon, come and see. You've got to meet this guy named Jesus. He's the Messiah. Come and see. And Simon comes. And Jesus sees him and looks at him and names him Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. And of course, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, becomes universally known as just that. He's Andrew, Simon's brother. He's the one who invited his brother to follow Jesus. Well, that's all right. It doesn't bother Andrew because he's more than content to be in second place compared to his brother. It doesn't matter to him in the slightest. In fact, Andrew, interestingly enough, is the patron saint of all those who just take second place and don't make a fuss about it. What really mattered to Andrew was being with Jesus. That's all that matters. He's with Jesus. His brother's with Jesus. What more can he want? You know, in the ancient world, almost everybody had two names. Greek was a universal language of the time. So virtually everybody had a Greek name, but they also had a name in their native tongue. Cephas, or Peter, is the name that was given by Jesus to Simon. Simon Peter. In Hebrew, Simon Cephas. It's the same thing in other languages, not just Hebrew. Jesus often gave a second name. In fact, God often gives second names or changes names. Think of Abram in the Old Testament. Who does he become? Abraham. Think of Jacob. Who does Jacob become? Israel. When God gives you a second name, you're in a new relationship. A new relationship with God. He may have given me a second name, but I'm not sure what it was. Might be Lefse Maker. I don't think that's it. The great thing about this paragraph, for me anyway, is how Jesus looks at Simon. And the Hebrew word, or the Greek word translated as looks at, means a very deep look. The kind of look that you think of looking into, Jesus is looking into your heart. He sees everything about me, everything that was, that is, and will be. It's that kind of look. And Jesus looks at Peter, or at Simon, and gives him the name Peter. And he sees a Galilean fisherman. But he also sees the man on whom Jesus will build his church. Cephas, or Peter, meaning rock. You know, and now when we think of Peter, doesn't matter which gospel you're reading, any of the four, he appears as anything but a rock. That's what I like about Peter. You never know what he's going to say. Sometimes that's how I feel. You never know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say until I've said it and I think about it. Welcome to the human race, I guess. But Simon gets renamed by Jesus and becomes Simon Peter. And Jesus' renaming of him points to the change that is going to be wrought in Simon Peter through the power of God. Peter, he's still human. He's still going to make mistakes. He's still going to put his foot in his mouth. He's still going to be the impetuous fisherman that sets out to defend Jesus, but like the rest, runs away. That's Peter. That's us, humans. So now Jesus heads toward Galilee. He goes north. And on the way, he calls to Philip. And to Philip, he says, follow me. And that follow me means as a disciple. Don't just traipse along behind me, but come and be my disciple. And Philip follows Jesus. But along the way, Philip, kind of like Andrew, sees his brother, or he sees Nathanael in this case, and he goes and tells Nathanael, we have found this one who is the Messiah, the Christ. We found him. He's from Nazareth. Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael, kind of like Peter, says, can anything good come from Nazareth? What does Philip say to him? Come and see. And of course, Jesus sees Nathanael. So here's a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He must have gotten looked at the same way Simon got looked at. So Philip finds Nathanael, brings him to Jesus to share the good news. And I think of one lighted torch serving to light another. And that's what we see. Jesus lights Andrew. Andrew lights Peter. Jesus lights Philip. Philip lights Nathanael. And that's kind of what we should be doing, lighting others with what we ourselves have received from Christ. Inviting others, not just those who are seated here, but inviting others who aren't here, who maybe have never been here. Come and see. Come and see what's going on at this church I belong to. Come and see. You're inspired preaching by the pastor and by the guy who fills in for the pastor. That would be me. Thank you for laughing and smiling. But this is what we should be about, inviting others. You know, when I heard this a long, long time ago, that when we, any one of us, goes to see someone who's sick, who's in distress, who maybe has lost a loved one, or who just needs company, or who's just simply a brother or sister in Christ, we go as Christ. Maybe not knowingly, but that's who we are. But the interesting thing here is, whoever we're going to see, whoever it is, whatever they're getting from us, We're giving to Christ. Christ is there. Christ is in that person. We see Christ when we go to minister to someone else. We may go as Christ, but we also see him. After the first service, a lady came up and said, "You know, I've known this for years, but it didn't really sink in until you said it. There's Christ that we're going to see. It's Christ we're ministering to. What you've done for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, Jesus tells us, you have done for me." So invite others. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. And we'll see Jesus in them. We do see Jesus in them. Dear friends, Jesus has found us, and he finds us, and he continues to find us. He's in us, but he grows. He grows in us. You know, I was telling this lady after the first service that I don't think I'll ever stop learning more and more. The more I read things that I've read for years, the more I'm beginning to understand. I thought I kind of understood before, and I guess I did, but I understand more now. But if I'm doing this 10 years from now, I'm going to be understanding it even more than now. I never stop learning. I never stop growing in Christ because he's in me, giving me more understanding, changing me. You know, I don't make the mistake of thinking that I'm as good as it's going to get because I'm nowhere near as good as I'm going to get, and neither are you. With Christ in us, changing us, we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to grow in Christ, to learn more about Christ, to understand what this is all about. And now you and I, my dear ones, we, like John the Baptizer, are to point to someone greater than ourselves, and that someone is Jesus. And we are each of us tasked with bringing others to Christ, to point to Christ, to tell of Jesus' invitation, "Follow me," or "Come and see," either one or both. Our friends, our loved ones, people we happen to be talking with, people we don't even know but we're chatting with, invite them. Tell them to come and see, or suggest it, however you're feeling comfortable. We tell of the invitation that we ourselves have received, and we say to them, "Come and see. Come and see the Christ. Come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Savior. Come and see." Amen.